You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We're going to do communion in a minute, and you might be thinking, communion, it's a very strange word. But actually, communion is based on a celebration of a festival that Jesus first did. So just to put it into context, I'm just going to move this a minute because I can see I shall be banging it. It's the tambourine. So the original communion, as we talk about it, that Jesus introduced just before he was crucified, was when he and his disciples got together to actually celebrate what we call the Passover. So God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt into freedom, out of slavery into freedom. And they used to celebrate that, and they got together, and Jesus was with his disciples. And that's when he introduced what we call the Last Supper now, communion as we see it now, because of Jesus. I just need my table. My lovely assistant here. I don't do magic tricks. But we can expect miracles, okay? Let's just be honest, you know, do expect miracles. And if you're at home, I hope you've got your own bread and wine. If not, there will be time to go and get some. And if you're here with us, there should be, if you haven't collected one already, our little do-it-yourself communion cups. We've been reliant on these quite a while now, but later on we're going to have opportunity to break bread and pray together, which I think is important. Okay, so just going to read through this. And as I said, the first one started with Jesus and the apostles observing the festival of Passover on the evening prior to Jesus being crucified. And it continues to remind us of the fact that Jesus died in our place. He was sacrificed for us and for our sins. That just means he paid the price for the wrong things that we've done. He takes a punishment we don't have to, and it's like, wow, goodness gracious me. And in Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, whilst they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Everything we've ever done that was wrong has been forgiven by God because of Jesus. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And you know, that is the foundation of Christianity. That's the foundation of my faith, that Jesus died, his blood was shed to take away my sins. And it was God's plan of salvation, a plan that provided eternal life as members of God's family, a community of believers united with God and with each other. You know, when I first became a Christian, it was during a time of communion. I do not ever underestimate the power of Jesus and God to move during communion. We were saved, and I suddenly realized that God loved me, that everything I'd done was washed away by his blood, because God loves me and he paid the price. And it's a beautiful picture of unity and reconciliation, because not only was I restored to God, do you know what? I was restored to a family. A family of God that I'd never known or thought about before. I was married at the time. We were both married. In fact, we got saved at the same time during communion. But not only did I get saved into relationship with God, but it was saved into relationship with other Christians as a family. And it's like, wow, God does things on so many levels. And then in Acts, we have Pentecost. And today is Pentecost Sunday in the church calendar, when things really heated up, so to speak. That's when the Holy Spirit came, and Tony's going to talk more about that. It was a down payment. It was a promise. It was a seal of approval that what God was going to have us happen to have eternity with him was going to happen. And that brings us into Acts 2, the fellowship of believers. So we have Jesus dying. And then he said to his believers, wait, wait for me, wait for the Spirit. And after the Spirit came, it says, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Healings. We didn't perform it. God did. Let's just make that very clear. It's nothing of what we do. It's all about God. All the believers were together. They were united. They were a community and had everything in common. Do you know, sometimes we look at what separates us. We look at what divides us. We look at changes in theology, what we can do, what we can't do. But you know what? The Holy Spirit unites us. It brings everyone together in God's love because we focus on God first and then each other. Amen? And this is a challenging bit, but you know what? It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts, so at church, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How many of you little ones enjoy having parties and spending time with your friends? I know I do. I'm a little one to God. And you know, that's partly what communion's about. It's about remembering what God's done, but also that we are together in all of this. And as we take communion today, let us think about that new covenant, what Jesus has actually done to restore that relationship, to bring us back to God, to unite us, and to be that representation of Jesus' body on the earth. He's not here, but he is in us through the Holy Spirit. We as the church are his representation. So when we go out, whether it's to school, whether it's to see friends, whether it's to be in a Jubilee celebration, we go out as Jesus. And I'm thinking, wow, that's an enormous responsibility. But because he lives in us by his Holy Spirit, do you know what? We just need to have more of him and less of us. Amen. So I'm just going to pray a blessing over the bread and the wine. If you've got yours, I think I'm the top one. It has like a double cover, has a plastic see-through cover, first of all. That's for the bread. And then if you peel that off, you get into the wine. So I'm just going to pray a blessing over the bread and wine, as Jesus did. And then in groups, in your families, with your children, I'm going to leave that open to you to take communion together. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the bread. Lord, this was your body that was broken for us, but it gives us sustenance, it gives us energy. And Father, your body was broken into many pieces. And yet, Father, when we come together, we come together as your body, as one and united in Christ. Thank you for that sacrifice. Amen. We have got gluten-free bread, and if you want some, just put your hands up and Anne-Marie will pass it to you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed on the cross. It was poured out for me, for everybody, because you love the world. That blood that covers all our sins, that blood that just brings us and shows us your love. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you did that for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. If there is anybody here today who just feels that Tony and I once sat in a meeting and someone came to say, would you like to break bread? And we just said, we don't believe in it. And that person had the bravery to actually say to us, would you like to accept Jesus into your life? So if any of you are just sitting here today or online and just thinking, do you know what? I just don't have that faith. I don't have that belief. That's a question. Would you like Jesus in your life? Because he'll be there. Amen. Okay. Right. Everybody good? Good. There will be opportunity in a little while to break bread, to move about more freely, which I think is one of the things we've missed during lockdown, and just really be that community of people together, united, spending time with God and with each other. One notice for tonight, and that's about prayer at the cathedral starting at 6:30. It'll probably be really busy, so I suggest you get there a little bit earlier because of parking and trying to get into town. I think this is the first opportunity I've remember where the whole of the church, the different churches in Hereford, have had the opportunity to get together, that desire to be the body of Christ together. And I think it's important. It's Pentecost Sunday, and it's like, wow, what's that going to say to the people in Herefordshire? So that's at 6:30. Whilst you're praying later on, just pray. We have an offering point over there. One of the things I've realised over the weeks is that actually I've not been so much good at giving. I've done a regular amount, but the offering. So it's just one of those habits to get back into. And just pray to God, how much would you like me to give? There's a point over there if you moved. I think, yeah, I want to do that, because in Acts they had everything together and they met each other's needs. I'm going to let the children go out if they haven't already. I can hear some are definitely ready, and I'm going to pray for the children's work. I think Julia's leading it today. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your children. Father, we pray a blessing on what they do in children's work about Pentecost, that, Father, they have a revelation of what you have done, of who you are and who the Holy Spirit is. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's like half the place disappears, which is amazing, because it means, you know what, we've got families, we've got children. Engage is staying in. Thank you, Tony. Oh, sorry, you're going to love this bit. You really are. This is going to bless your socks off. Yeah, okay. I'm going to pass over to Tony now, who's just going to go through the whole thing about Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to say, when Faye was sharing her healing with her brother, he said, oh, that's a bit spooky. No, it's just Jesus and the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. This morning is going to be different because sometimes it's good to be different. Yeah? I was reminded that I'm trying to keep myself fit. And one of the things I do is I go on a cross trainer every week. Those of you that know about fitness know that if you do something just the same the whole time, your body gets used to it. Yeah? So I used to just sort of go on the cross trainer. I used to do half an hour of the same thing. And I think, oh, I'm doing really well here. Until somebody said, well, actually, you don't do as well as if you occasionally change what you do, do something faster or slower, and you change the rhythms. And that often helps you get fitter quicker. Today, we're changing the rhythm. Okay? We've got opportunity to do something slightly different. And so what we're doing, what we want to do, we want to really give space for the Holy Spirit to do something amongst us. It's sometimes easy to come in and go through the same process, do the same stuff, and then walk out. But today we want to do something different. We want to allow God to really move amongst us. So I'm going to share literally for about 5-10 minutes tops. And then what we're going to do is we're going to actually get together and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray because Leslie said, today is the day of Pentecost. Today we're celebrating Pentecost. That's why I'm going to share a little bit about why we celebrate it. But it's not necessarily about a thing we should know in our head. What we want to do is experience Pentecost in our heart. Amen. And so we want to be able to get together and just give time to pray for one another, to be that community, but a community that's not just the same as every other community, but a community that is full of the Spirit. That's what sets us apart. Okay. So, and this morning, if you're online and you're watching online, then again, we'd love you to connect in terms of praying. We're going to put some prayer points up later on. Okay, so what is this thing, Pentecost Sunday? Why do we have this thing called Pentecost? Well, it came from originally a Jewish festival. It was a feast, okay? And it was actually originally, it was called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. But the Greek name for it was Pentecost. And it was the celebration of the early harvest. They used to have two harvests. Well, they have two harvests in Palestine at the time, and so they probably do now. As many places do, we have two harvests, I think, here as well, don't we? And they had two harvests each year. They had an early harvest and a later harvest. And the early harvest was around about mid-May to beginning of June. And so they used to celebrate that one, okay, and call it Pentecost. So that harvest was Pentecost. Where are we now? Beginning of June. Pentecost. It was at that time that the disciples were together in Jerusalem. They were meeting because one of the reasons was to celebrate Pentecost, the celebration of this particular feast. It was then, during that time together, that something completely world-changing happened. And that was when the Holy Spirit came. And he came on that day when they were celebrating Pentecost. So it says in Acts 2, so this is before what Leslie was sharing, but it's in the same part. It said this, okay? So it says that they were together for the Feast of Harvest, and the Holy Spirit filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it was at this point that something amazing happened. the church was born. The church we are part of was born at this point when the Holy Spirit came. And by the end of that day, over 3,000 people became part of that church. That's incredible. In one city, in Jerusalem, as a result. And so that's why we as Christians see Pentecost as important, because that was the day that what Jesus said would happen was fulfilled. You see, what he said was that a promised helper would come. If you go to the next slide on that. He said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came. But it was also a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. And there's a prophecy, and again, it's one that Peter also mentions when he has the first big, massive sermon. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. And suddenly, he understood what this was all about. All the stuff Jesus had taught them for 3 years. Suddenly, it all made sense. Because the Holy Spirit came. And in Joel, in a book, or the Old Testament books, it said this: afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Not some people, not a few people, not on the privileged people, not on the priests in the robes people, every person, all people. So if you're sat here this morning thinking that doesn't include me, I'm afraid it does, because it says all. Thank you. Woo. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I keep saying, God, just give me a vision. Because I don't want to dream yet. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Come on. And that's what brought the church alive. That's when thousands came to faith. And it goes from this little sect of believers, this little sect of people who'd followed this rabbi for 3 years, to a church that suddenly has the power, the authority, the ability to change the world. We've been talking about, since January, our go. I mean, remember that advert about va-va-voom? I don't know if anybody, wait, I don't know which car it was. It was a car, and it puts in the va-va-voom. God put the va-va-voom into the church. He put the go into the church on the day of Pentecost. That is why it's so important. Pentecost no longer was an historical memory of something that had happened in the past. Pentecost became a living reality that applies to us today. The thing I absolutely love about this is what Leslie shared earlier about community. You see, it's no coincidence that straight after the Holy Spirit comes, we get this description of the way the church lives in Acts 2. 42 to 47. Josh, can you just go back? Sorry, I'm going to ruin it completely here. Can you go back to the slide with Acts 2, 47? Ah, perfect. This comes straight after the Holy Spirit. Is there a significance? Yes, there is. What's the significance? Now the church has the Holy Spirit. You see, back in the Old Testament, back before all this, the Holy Spirit used to come and go. You know, he'd jog in for a few minutes and he would jog off out again. As people needed the guidance, the support, the help of the Holy Spirit would come. But he wouldn't remain. He wouldn't dwell. He wouldn't stay. He went again. You see, he wasn't part of, in a sense, the community at that point. It was like a bit like a troubleshooter. He would come in, sort things out, help people, give them the wisdom they needed, give them whatever they needed to do, and then he'd go off again. Job done. Move on. He doesn't do that now. From the day of Pentecost, he dwells with us. He is with us. He doesn't come and go. He has come and has stayed. So he's here now. He is amongst us as a community of believers. He is with us right now. He is in us. He is with us. So when we pray in a few minutes, we can pray with the knowledge that what we are doing is praying with the Holy Spirit. Because he, not it, not a feeling, it's a he, it's a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, is here with us right now. And that's who we want to give space to this morning. You see, Jesus said, he abides with you. He will be in you. And so we have the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is now part of our community. So when we talk about community, okay, and we look at all these things that were done in community, they were done because the Holy Spirit was with them. So when it says they broke bread because they suddenly saw it in a new way and could do it because the Holy Spirit was with them. When they gave as everyone had need, they did it because the Holy Spirit was with them. When they fellowshiped, they could do it because the Holy Spirit was with them. When we pray now, when we are together now, we can do it because the Holy Spirit is with us. He is here, right now. Do you know, sometimes we can ignore people. Sit them on the back row. Let's not ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's give time for him to do what he wants to do. I love the fact that since we've come back, pretty much every week, there has been a sense, a growing sense of the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God amongst us. Do you get that? Yeah? And so we want more. But it's not just God's given us everything. The Holy Spirit gives us everything. It's more about us opening ourselves up to receive what he has for us. So, we're going to pray, okay? We're going to spend some time right now praying together and see what God will do, okay?
Let's do this.
Am I okay to carry on with this? Do you want to come up and sort of share with us? Okay. So if we go on to the prayer points, Josh, that'd be great. So here are some of the things you can do. And we want you to be open to move around. We want you to, this is the time. I knew I'd do it. Anyway, we want this to be a time when you have the freedom to move. Don't just stay in your chair. Okay? When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, they didn't have this. They didn't have the music. They didn't have anything like this. They were just a group of people. But the Holy Spirit came and did something and changed their lives forever. So here are some of the things you can pray for. Healing. We want to press into healing. Remember Tim said, we want to press into healing. We want to be a place where, because healing is a manifest presence. It's a manifest outworking of an inward action that God is doing in our lives. It's evidence that God is active. So pray for healing. So when you get together, ask somebody, anyone need healing today? Come on, let's do it. Let's have faith to believe that God will heal. We had a brilliant testimony earlier. Fantastic. God can, does, and wants to heal. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for an open heaven. Okay, let's pray for others to come to know Jesus. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost alone. They hadn't met, seen, heard, maybe not even heard of him. And yet, they came to faith. Is there somebody in your family? Is there somebody, is there a friend? Are there people, you know, are your mates at school, at college, at university, at work? Think, oh, I need to pray for these guys. Let's do it. Let's name them. Let's pray for them. For a greater sense of the Holy Spirit, for us to sense him more, to know him more, okay? For the gifts, the Holy Spirit gives amazing gifts for us as the church. Do we move in them? Tongues, the prophetic, pray for each other to move in fresh gifts, in new gifts, or even in the ones you've already got and you haven't used them for a while. And to be devoted followers of Jesus, to be absolutely devoted to him. Sometimes we need a fresh to do that. But it's about being open to the Holy Spirit. If you believe God, you've got a word for somebody, give it to somebody. Because they're going to miss out if you don't. See, God can use every one of you. He doesn't need to meet, just because I'm at the top here, at the front here, doesn't make me any more different to you. I am no different to you. Leslie is no different to you. Tim is no different to you. We are all filled with the Spirit and we can all pray with one another and God will move. Amen? Okay.